So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1. I have several more chapels, Lord willing, this semester when I will be able to talk some more about the remarkable life of John the Baptist as recorded in Scripture. But what we're going to do this morning is just basically introduce the subject, and at the risk of you concluding that you're not getting your money's worth of teaching, we're going to do quite a bit of Scripture reading this morning. But that doesn't hurt to just spend time looking at what Scripture says and letting the Scripture speak for itself. So we'll start with Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, and we'll read down until we break a little bit and move on to another passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, remember, this is the Word of God. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord, their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now drop down, if you will, to verse 39 in the same chapter. The angel Gabriel has appeared to Mary as well to tell her that she is with child by the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, "At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" Then verse 57, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, 'No, he's to be called John.' They said to her, 'There's no one among your relatives who has that name.' Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Now drop down to verse 80. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Now turn over to chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, and we'll begin reading with verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation." John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man who has two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly, and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Verse 19. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Chapter 7 and verse 18. John is in prison. Jesus has started his public ministry. Many wonderful things are happening. Verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 16. Herod, hearing about all that Jesus is doing, when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying, present continuous tense, to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. One of the passages we read told us about John from his time of birth to the time he was 8 days old. Then just one verse, Luke 1:80, tells us what happened from his infancy to the time he was 30 years of age, during which time his parents probably both died. And then we read about his complete ministry, which was 6 months long. And then we read about his imprisonment, which was 12 months long. And then we read about him sending his disciples to Jesus while he's in prison. And Jesus encourages and commends John, and then he doesn't get out. He gets killed, and he's buried, and it's over. So, why should we study this man's life? John the Baptizer would be more accurate than John the Baptist, because this is not speaking about a denomination. John the Baptizer. Why should we study this man's life? Well, first of all, because it's recorded in Scripture, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, for correction, for all of us, that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So, if God records it in Scripture, we should study it, whether it's a few verses or many verses. Secondly, because so much Scripture is devoted to him. When we read in Scripture, we take special pains to study those characters in the Bible to whom God gives a lot of press. Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and Jesus and Paul and John the Baptist. I counted it up, and there are 315 verses in the Bible that talk about John the Baptist. 315. At least 315. There are 34 different chapters in the Bible that talk about John the Baptist. At least 34 different chapters. And there are 7 Bible books that talk about John the Baptist. Isaiah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, where he's talked about 8 different times in the book of Acts, and possibly he is referred to in 2 other Bible books besides the 7 that I just listed. If, for example, the book of Hebrews is alluding to John the Baptist in chapter 11, verses 35 to 40, where we read about those who were imprisoned, killed with the sword, who wandered in the wilderness, could be referring to John the Baptist. And possibly the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4, is speaking of John the Baptist when it says, "I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their martyria, their testimony, their witness for Jesus." Interestingly, that word is used to describe the ministry that John the Baptist had when he preached about Jesus. There are many different words used that are translated into the English word preaching in the New Testament. And one of them is the word martyria, from which we get the English word martyr. And it means a person who is willing to stand up for the truth even at the cost of his life. And that word is used to describe John the Baptist's preaching in more than one passage. And that's the word that's used in Revelation 24 when it talks about the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus. So maybe 9 books, at least 7 for sure, talk about John the Baptist. So it's recorded in Scripture. There's a lot of Scripture given to it. And it's important to study his life because of what Jesus said about him. What did Jesus say about him? Luke 7:28. "I tell you," and Jesus always says that before he says something really important. "I tell you," in other words, "I'm really telling you now. Listen to what I'm going to say. Among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." That should make us sit up and listen and look and learn. No one greater than John. Even though he only ministered for 6 months. Even though he never wrote a book. Even though he never performed a miracle. Even though he spent most of his adult life that we know of in prison. He did the right thing. He ended up in jail. He was killed. He was a light that shone for a brief while and then was put out. Well, there are tons of things that we can learn from John the Baptist. And what I want to do in just the last few minutes that we have this morning is look at one reference to him in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. and verse 15. And this is Gabriel speaking. Gabriel was really busy in those days. Verse 15, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, probably a reference to the fact that John the Baptist was a Nazarite. It doesn't say that in so many words in Scripture, but it would appear that he had a Nazarite vow upon him, probably instructed by his parents to take that vow. If that was true, he probably had long hair. And if that was true, that may be why Herodias asked for his head, because she recognized that as the sign of his connection with God, and it infuriated her. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. So we see in this verse that John the Baptist, among many other things, was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We are commanded as well to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Same root word in Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's very interesting that the text says here that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, King James Version, from his mother's womb, here, even from birth. That's pretty quick. I can't quite explain that theologically. But here we have John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit right from the start. By the way, children can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? You don't have to wait till you grow up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait till you grow up to be saved. See, a lot of adults think, oh, children are too young to understand. No, they're not. In fact, Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. The reason why faith is so difficult for adults is because it's so simple. And that's why children can understand and believe and trust in the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this once. He said, as soon as a child is old enough to knowingly sin, he is old enough to savingly believe. Don't neglect talking to children about the Lord. And don't think that you have to wait until you get big to be filled with the Spirit. That promise is to anyone who trusts in the Lord through faith. Jesus told Nicodemus that you can't see the Spirit, but that the Spirit is like the wind. Even though you can't see the wind, you can see its effects. And even though you can't see the Spirit, you can see his effects. What is the sign of the Holy Spirit's filling in the life of John the Baptist? Well, I've studied his life very carefully, and I've taken all the different things it says about him, and I've really come up with just two key signs of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the life of John the Baptist as lessons for us to say, how do I know if I'm really filled with the Spirit? What's the effect? What are the signs? Well, what were the signs in the life of John the Baptist? Sign number one, he was like the Lord Jesus. He was like the Lord Jesus. You say, how do you know that? Because everybody thought that's who he was. He had to keep telling, no, I'm not him. Do you ever have to tell anybody that? Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 15. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Our homecoming speaker this year is Rich Cannon. Rich Cannon is a CIU grad. He also, with his wife, Carol, was a missionary among cannibalistic tribes in Indonesia. And they worked with people that had never before seen a person from the outside, never before seen the Word of God, never before heard about Jesus. And so they started wisely back at creation and worked their way up to the time when Jesus came and lived and died and so forth. And when they told the story about Jesus and all the things he did, going about doing good, healing and touching people and showing grace to sinners and everything, at a certain point, one of the chieftains in that village came to Rich with kind of a sly smile and a toothless grin and said, "Are you Jesus?" He thought that Rich was kind of building the thing up to finally introduce himself as the one who'd come to save them, because his life in the chief's mind was so much like the Jesus that Rich had been talking about. Anybody ever ask you that? Are you Jesus? Look back at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 8. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. See, John the Apostle is writing here. He said, now you need to understand, he's not the one. I just want you to know, he's not the one. He's an awful lot like him, but he's not the one. And then look at verse 19 and 20. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ." Why did he have to say that? Because he was so much like Jesus. Now, in subsequent chapels, I'm going to look at a list of about 8 or 10 characteristics of the life of John the Baptizer to show that he was very much like Jesus, and that's the way we're supposed to be. You know why? Because that's the sign of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, "I will send you another comforter. And when he comes, he will glorify himself." Is that what it says? No. He will glorify me. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit does not talk excessively about the Holy Spirit. A person who is filled with the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus and lives like Jesus, because that's the sign of the Spirit's fullness. So he lived a Christ-like life. You might want to jot down Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control. Self-control. Against such there is no law. That's what John Stott calls the unforbidden fruit. I like that. The characteristics of a Spirit-filled life is that we manifest all the qualities of the Lord Jesus in our lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is, he not only lived a Christ-like life, but he talked to everybody about Jesus and pointed everybody to Jesus. That's all he talked about. He just pointed people to Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look at John chapter 1, verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. What's the sign of the Spirit's fullness? When people meet me, they follow Jesus. When people met John, they followed Jesus. And he didn't get upset about that, because he was filled with the Spirit. And the sign of the Spirit's fullness is that we want Jesus to be front and center. In the revelation of himself to man, God has made Jesus Christ central in the Godhead. And anyone who is filled with the Spirit of God, who is one of the three persons of the Trinity, does nothing but live like Jesus and talk about Jesus. That's the sign of the Spirit's fullness. Now, one more verse, and then we're going to go. Look over at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 41. And many people came to Jesus. They said, John never performed a miraculous sign. All that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. I remember the first time I saw this verse, I went, wow! Wow! John never performed a miracle. He never touched a blind man and made him see. He never turned water to wine. He never healed anybody. Nobody ever was raised from the dead. He didn't ever perform a miracle. No, he came in the power and spirit of Elijah. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, but he never performed a miracle. Signs and wonders are not necessarily the sign of the Spirit's filling. Do I believe in signs and wonders? Absolutely. Do I believe God can heal today? Absolutely. But it's not necessarily the sign of the Spirit's filling. It certainly wasn't in the life of John the Baptizer. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. No one greater born among women, Jesus said, than John the Baptizer, and yet he never performed a miracle. He never did anything extraordinary in terms of physical miracles. I have a verse in my Bible study notebook in a section entitled Verses That Scare Me. And it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, where Jesus says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That verse scares me to death. Do you know why? Because of the word many. See, when the Bible says many, it's not exaggerating. It doesn't say a few. It says many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did not we cast out demons in your name? And he's not going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, because they're lying, because they didn't cast out demons. They did cast out demons. You remember one time when Jesus sent his disciples out? And they came back and they said to him, Lord, even the spirits are subject unto us. And he didn't say, yeah, that's great. That's what I sent you out to do. What did he say? He said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. That's a strange response. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that at least in the case of one, he was casting out demons and his name wasn't written in heaven. And his name was Judas. You read it carefully. All 12 were sent out. All 12 performed miraculous signs. All 12 came back. But one of them did not know the Lord. You remember when Jesus said at the Last Supper, one of you is going to betray me? John didn't say to Peter, I know who he's talking about. Because when we went out last time, Judas was the only one who couldn't do anything. Doesn't say that. They had no idea who he was talking about. Do you know why? Because Judas was doing all the things that they were doing. But that is not necessarily the sign of the filling of the Spirit. John did no miracle, but everything he said about this man was true, and many people believed in Jesus. Will God ever use me to do something, you know, extraordinary, miraculous? I don't know. That's up to him. But I know, as a person who's commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that I want what I say and what I do to point people to Jesus. And that when I talk about the Lord and when they see the way I live, they will say, I want to follow Jesus. That is the sign of the Spirit's filling. You believe that? Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to talk about Jesus. May he be front and center as a sign that we are yielded to your Holy Spirit controlling us and manifesting the Lord Jesus to all those around us. We pray in his name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.